Tuesday, February 3rd. The first reading from 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 9, 10, 14, 24, 25, and 30, and chapter 19, verse 3. Absalom unexpectedly came up against David's servants. He was mounted on a mule, and as the mule passed under the branches of a large terebinth, his hair caught fast in the tree. He hung between heaven and earth while the mule he had been riding ran off. Someone saw this and reported to Joab that he had seen Absalom hanging from a terebinth. And taking three pikes in hand, he thrust for the heart of Absalom, still hanging from the tree alive. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and a lookout went up to the roof of the gate above the city wall, where he looked about and saw a man running all alone. The lookout shouted to inform the king, who said, "If he is alone, he has good news to report." The king said, "Step aside and remain in attendance here." So he stepped aside and remained there. When the Cushite messenger came in, he said, "Let my lord the king receive the good news that this day the Lord has taken your part, freeing you from the grasp of all who rebelled against you." But the king asked the Cushite, "Is young Absalom safe?" The Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rebel against you with evil intent be as that young man." The king was shaken and went up to the room over the city gate to weep. He said as he wept, "My son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you, Absalom, my son, my son." Joab was told that the king was weeping and mourning for Absalom, and that day's victory was turned into mourning for the whole army when they heard that the king was grieving for his son. The Gospel from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had greatly suffered at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. Haydock Commentary. Almighty God is pleased to give occasionally to the relics and clothes of his pious and faithful servants a degree of power. See Acts chapters 5 and 19, where the very shadow of St. Peter and the handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched the body of St. Paul and were brought to the sick cured their diseases and banished the wicked spirits. St. Basil says, "He that touches the bone of a martyr receives in some degree the holiness and grace or virtue that is therein." Power had gone out from him, Power to heal this woman's malady proceeded from Christ, though she touched but his coat. So when the saints by their relics and garments perform miracles, the grace and force thereof cometh from our Savior, they being but the means or instruments of the same. Do not be afraid, just have faith. Dissenters grossly abuse this and other similar texts of Scripture to prove that faith alone will suffice for justification, whereas God only declares that He requires a faith in His almighty power for the performance of miracles, and that without this necessary predisposition, He will not do any miracles. See verse 5 of the following chapter of this Gospel. Only three resurrections from the dead are mentioned as performed by our Savior. One just dead, one carried out to be buried, and Lazarus already in his tomb. These represent the different states of sinners dead in sin, some more desperate than others. To such as have been for years in sin and have none to intercede for them, we must apply the words of Christ, "Suffer the dead to bury the dead."